The claw. It's not a rude gesture, but look at that. All the other fingernails. Compared to the thumb, but not that one. The claw. People say, someone said, give me a logical reason why you still have that. Well, my rationale is coin, and no, it's not scraping the devil's dandruff off a surface, okay? But this claw is going to go. I mean, consciously pick one to be longer than the others. I just don't bite one. Anyway, so back to the topic, and that is about increasing oppression in the Russian Federation. So Vladimirovich Putin trying to take it back to the Stalinist era. And no, he hasn't reopened the gulags, you know, not quite. The Overton window has narrowed very severely. And a friend of mine said that he hates the hypocrisy of these endless denunciations of oppression in Russia, which is definitely there. But, you know, in Western democracies, things are happening, which are not bad, but that's the ever narrowing parameters of permissible expressions, criminalizing people for saying contentious and unpopular things, so-called extreme. It's a thought-terminating cliche. Extreme is compared to what? Because of the opposite, must be extreme as well, by definition. Every new idea starts out as extreme. Every advance for liberty starts out as extreme. So this really just doesn't tell us anything. What's happening in Russia? It's on the 26th of July, the Russian government, they criminalized dozens of these ethnic minority organizations. Remember, Russia's got almost 200 ethnic groups. There's people of the Russian ethnicity. They claim it's 80% of the population. It's probably rather lower than that. People of mixed ancestry, Polish, partly Russian, will often define as Russian. But I knew someone who was it. She's half Georgian, half Tatar, grew up in Moldova, identified as a Russian because that was her language, that was a dominant culture. You know, people was a Belarus and half Russian, even born in Belarus, grew up there, identified and so forth. So a lot of these so-called Russians are actually various other things. I mean, I knew a Russian, she's partly Swedish and blah, 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 partly Jewish and so on. So those who are Russian through and through is rather lower than that. This often happens with the language or other things. It's sort of snowball effect of the largest group. Obviously, Russia, the cradle of Russia is Kiev, which is why Putin is so keen to annex it. And then the locus of Russian history shifted. That's the ring, those cities around Moscow. And Vladimir was one in, they finally settled on Moscow. Moscow being a not particularly powerful realm then. And then obviously 1704 shifted to St. Petersburg under Peter the Great, and then back to Moscow in 1918 during the Russian Civil War, where it's remained ever since. But from the 16th century, Ivan the terrible, probably the best translation, conquered to the east, the Tatar kingdom, about 500 miles east of Moscow, astride the River Volga, Kazan, called as in meaning their capital city and so forth, and eventually into Siberia and down into the Caucasus from the 18th century onwards. So the Ingushetian language totally divorced from Russian, you know, the Chechens, the Dagestanis, the Avars, the Lesgians, languages completely unrelated to Russian, the North Ossetians, who've got the same language as the South Ossetians, you said accents are different, disintegrated to Pashta, for example, the Abkhazians, the Georgians, the Azerbaijanis, the Armenians, and so forth. See, Ukraine was somewhat polonized Russians, but became a distinct nation, the Moldavia, a section of the Romanian nation, Poland itself, Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and then within the Russian Federation, as I say, some of these indigenous ethnic minorities, the Yakuts and Yakutia or Sakha, even the Chukchi on the northern sea, the equivalent of Eskimos, various Buddhist peoples on the border with China, or the Kalmuk people on the northern shore of the Caspian Sea. They're Buddhists as well. You know, people from Kazakhstan who are really Kazakh and what's in Russia. So it was all very complicated. Some gypsies, some Pontic Greeks on the shore of the Black Sea, that the Cossacks or runaway serfs around the Don River basin. But anyway, as well, have their you know, Ugric landlords and so on, who want keep their language, their identity going, their collective individuality, being increasingly smothered. So it wasn't stifled to begin with at the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and some had autonomous republics, a cultural space for them where they could live their dent while still enjoying the dubious benefits of membership of the Russian Federation. But increasingly that's been reined in. They're not going to have the title of republic. Their leaders were called president. That's been downgraded to head. But what's his name? Rustem Minnikhanov, whom I met, who I briefly worked for. Minnikhanov, who really is mini. Putin likes him there partly because he's even shorter than him. Putin's about 5'7". His true height is a state secret. But it was a racing car driver, Minnikhanov, because he's a car. But anyway, though he's president of the Tatars, he's going to be the last one. Putin likes him so he can keep that title for life. He's about now, so he won't be there for that much longer. But loads of these organizations saying, let's keep the language, let's celebrate our culture, let's have real autonomy. Some of them even want independence. They're criminalized. Remember, under the Russian constitution, Russia can never give away a single millimeter of its territory, despite stealing the land of other people since 2014. So any organization that advocates independence is criminalized. And there's a ban on the anti-Russian separatist movement. But wait a second, there's no such movement exists, no such title exists. But this is obviously distressingly reminiscent of the 2023 prohibition on the international gay movement. There's an organization by that name. But yeah, there are LGBTQ whatever organizations all around the world. Some of them are global. So you're not allowed to do that, which I think is repulsive. Obviously, you see sort of the equivalent in Western countries with organizations who want sort of gay conversion therapy to be promoted. They're going to be criminalized, which is obviously equally wrong. So you say what you believe and other people say what they believe, and let a thousand schools of thought contend. You don't like someone's point of view, well, you don't need to subscribe to it. You can perhaps convince them of the error of their ways. You don't need to jail people for failing to conform to your credo. Anyway, what more is Putinism? The government is very skeptical about any organizations which promote identities of ethnic minorities. And these minority languages, they have official status in autonomous republics like Chechen in Chechnya, or Tatar in Tatarstan, and so forth. But these languages used to be a compulsory subject in school. You could do your schooling principally through Russian, as in they teach you mathematics, biology, history, whatever, through Russian. And then Tatar, for instance, we do that maybe one lesson a day as an additional language. But that was obligatory, but that's been scrapped. No longer mandatory to do any Tatar. There were, of course, a few schools which were Tatar medium schools. They taught chiefly Tatar. I would do Russian just one lesson a day. But Putin now begins to think this is the beginning of the end. We must discourage his languages. He's not actually got so far as to try to outlaw them, the languages of these indigenous ethnic minorities, really part of the Russian Federation, because they're subjugated peoples. Chechnya declared independence in 1994, and you see hundreds of thousands that were killed when Russia conquered them again. The Tatars declared independence and they backed down under threat of severe military action from Moscow. I mean, I know this is Russian sovereign soil, but it just shows how hypocritical Russia's claim is on the sovereign territory of other nation states, such as Ukraine, and sort of supporting splittist movements in Georgia and where else, in Moldova, you know, Transnistria. So that's the eastern bank of the river Dniester, which has been under Russian illegal occupation since 1991. So yeah, indigenous rights groups, they had to be very circumspect about what they said. They kept a deliberately low profile in recent years, that were low key, because they feared being branded extremist. So the Kremlin is constantly saying there's a global conspiracy for Western hegemony, and these vicious fascist, capitalist, imperialist Occidentals are striving to break up the Russian Federation. And now it's true that separatists from Chechnya, Yakutia, and other places, they've sometimes fought for Ukraine, or they've sent out organizations abroad because, you know, they're not allowed to do so in Russia. They're criminalized for exercising their rights under the Russian constitution, which is guarantees free expression, guarantees the right to freedom of association, to form a political party or other organization, to gather, to agitate upon public grievances, and says censorship is forbidden. Well, What an absolute joke the Russian constitution is, sadly. I mean, it was wonderful it was actually upheld. Anyway, that is the tristful situation. What do you think? Thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.